This episode of The Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 217 for Wednesday, December 14th, 2016. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. Normally we cover movies and television and stuff, but tonight we're going to talk about the holidays and the geeky stuff that we do over the holidays, because, well, why not? It's almost Christmas, and this is actually going to be the last show of 2016. You will not see us again until the new year. Joining me tonight normally would be Hammond and Brockett and Lou, and they unfortunately have not been able to show up yet. Everybody's busy with the holidays. I know Brockett won't be here at all, which is too bad, but Lou and Hammond are on their way. It's just a matter of when. So instead, we thought we'd welcome Kristen Ashton back to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and happy holidays.
Yeah, same to you, and I'm excited because it's been almost like 6 months since I talked to you, I think.
It has. It was the one of the finale of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. So almost bang on 6 months then, because that would have been like June-ish, right?
Right about then.
Ah, dude, memory. I'm not as old as I look. And also with me, Sam Bonin is here from the Slack chat and Halcon and just all kinds of different places around the city full of nerdy goodness. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing all right. Just got off work, but I'm still awake. So that's a plus.
We'll put that in the win column.
Exactly.
I don't even remember the last time that I had you on the show. Was it for a Game of Thrones episode as well?
No. I think it was just a regular episode. Huh. But it was a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, it might have even been to promote Halcon at some point.
Some point, yeah.
So it might have been over a year ago, because it wasn't this year. It was probably last fall.
Yeah, so that'd be 2014.
Jeez, time flies. That's not fair. That's not fair at all. So I guess I'll start with you, Kristen. What's new? What's happening in your world?
Well, what's new? Well, success is not new, but you know, there was a success because when I was on last time, we were talking about bodybuilding and everything.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I made it through. I did the Sonya Barbarian cosplay. It went incredible. I had a few abs showing. It was great. And now I'm on month two of my binge, and then I'm nice. Cutting it up and I'm doing Human Kerrigan for next BlizzCon. So,
oh, cool. That's a really fun cosplay too.
Definitely. I'm excited about building the gun more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that Bill Duran over at Punished Props had done a sniper rifle. I don't know whether it was Kerrigan's, but it was definitely a ghost rifle for sure.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm probably going to have to use that as a guide, but at the same time, he's just had so many years of experience. Mine will probably look like this weird lump of abstract beauty.
Well, if push comes to shove, label it Kerrigan's rifle.
There we go. And I mean, as long as you have the hair and the silhouette, they get it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you could have a lot of fun with props like that, especially if you had like a label maker, you know, if you had something that would normally put your name on things like when you went to grade school, you could easily label the bottom of the gun where no one would ever see it and be like, Rainer, do not touch, and just label the gun.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
And I've always... The subtleties and stuff that people put into cosplay is always something that really amazes me. So you obviously, you went to BlizzCon. That was a success for you. Did you guys get a lot of pictures with folks and other cosplayers?
We did. There weren't too many other cosplayers. Lots of divas, but mostly just people around the area wanting pictures. And my only stipulation was that they had to flex with me in the pictures that we took.
That's awesome. I completely missed. I don't know what I was doing. Well, you know what I was doing. Halcon and BlizzCon were the same weekend. So that's why I didn't catch any of the BlizzCon stuff, because I was too busy selling stuff at Halcon.
Well, there we go. You know, making money instead of spending money.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But I'll have to look up the pictures, because I have to confess, I completely forgot that you were doing cosplay at that. I knew everybody was going. Like, I knew a lot of the community was going that I'm friends with, but I completely forgot that you were doing the Sonya cosplay. That's awesome. Now that you're past the goal, and you're into what you said, like you said, like month two of binging, how much of a relief has it been to eat whatever the hell you want?
Surprisingly, not too much of a relief. I thought it would be great and I would feel wonderful, but the food, the convenience of it is perfect. I love that. I don't have to make anything. It's just there and I can eat it. I didn't feel good. I actually stopped entirely binging earlier than I said I would. And even not working out, I actually kind of snuck in at the end of November, because it was about 2 weeks. It was great. And then all of a sudden, my self-esteem just started to plummet. And so I got back on the workout train and have definitely balanced out. So they're still binging, but it's not 100% sitting on the couch eating nothing but potato chips.
Nice. That's what I found after big events like that. For me, was always, you'd want to binge, but it was always short lived, because I don't really like junk food that much anymore. I've got things, like I've got my vices, like M&Ms and
peppermint Hershey Kisses.
Yeah, sure. You know, candy canes this time of year. I like baked goods. Like, I'm a sucker for cookies or cake or,
yes,
you know, ice cream's not a baked good, but like those kind of like desserts,
the decadent, really fatty ones.
If I'm gonna eat something that's bad for me, then I'm gonna make sure it's like a homemade piece of apple pie, not a candy bar. You know, like that's kind of where I draw the line. But I found that if I eat a lot of junk food, as a lot of people probably already knew, but I don't know why this was news to me when I was training, I really makes you feel gross, and you don't realize it until you go on some really super strict diet. You have some sort of, you know, contest or show or you know, event that you have to train for, and then afterwards you're like, yeah, pizza, and then your body's like, whoa, pizza, what's this? This is not good.
Exactly. You can feel exactly where it sits in your stomach, because it feels like a rock, and you feel sluggish, and you have to sit back so you have the energy to digest it. So like, you feel things when you eat the junk food, but when you're eating the veggies, you don't really feel anything. It's just so neutral.
Yeah, I find that's probably why I find veggies so boring. You know, not that I don't eat my veggies, but I, you know, there's only so many times I can eat a carrot before I'm like, well, it's still a carrot. There's not much else you can do with a carrot. And you can chop it, steam it, mash it, and that's about it.
Boil it in a stew.
Yeah, yeah, there's that too. I put mine in a stir fry the other night, so it was, I guess they were steamed technically. But hey, we're entering into the holidays, where it is the greatest time to not be on a diet, because who would ever want to be on a diet over the holidays? Sam, do you have any junk foods over the holidays that you have to have?
I know it's not the typical thing that everybody picks, but it's my mom's homemade fruitcake.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's my grandmother's recipe, and my grandmother used to be a pastry chef.
Ooh. Wow.
So her dark fruit cake is an entire bottle of rum in it that sits in cheesecloth for an entire year, and it's amazing.
That's fantastic. As soon as you said like grandma's recipe, it's like, oh, there's rum in that.
Yeah,
I know.
There's a lot of rum in that. Even just
no wonder you're feeling.
When you open the tin, it's like a punch in the face of just rum.
Sorry, what
you
was
just
that,
smell Kristen? It and you start to feel good.
Nice. The vapors, yeah. Yeah. So you bring the fruit cake out to the table. Everybody moves the candles far away from the fruit cake. Just to make sure there's not fruit cake off lambe.
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, even the light fruit cake is half a bottle of brandy. So there's no getting away from it.
Wow. I knew rum was a big thing in fruitcake. I'd never thought about brandy, because I put brandy in my Christmas pudding, but not not fruitcake. Interesting. We've got some people to add. Hello, Hammond.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're here with Kristen and Sam.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Hammond.
Hi.
We were just talking about holiday food.
What kind of holiday food?
We were talking about Sam's grandmother's fruitcake with an entire bottle of rum.
Wow, that's a drunk cake.
Yeah, it's the whole thing sits in cheesecloth for a year, and then they
and just soaks in booze.
Yeah,
and so then... it's like a homeless man.
The homeless fruitcake. I think that's a good way to look at it. Too funny. Well, I was just about to ask these girls about some really geeky holiday memories. But before I do, I have one tiny bit of news. I say tiny. It's not that tiny. It's actually really important. So recently I got an email from Molly Springer, who's been a fan of the show for a really long time, since like Peyton and Chad and I started it. And I also happened to notice on Facebook today that today's Molly's birthday. And TCC fan, that's Molly. She's in the chat right now. So happy birthday. Thank you so much for hanging out. Hopefully we'll be able to pull you on the show a little bit later. But I wanted everybody to go wish Molly Springer a happy birthday on Facebook, because I think she's awesome. And it's been too long. It's been, probably 2 years since we've talked to Molly. So happy birthday, Molly. Although really close to Christmas to have a birthday. Talk to your parents about that.
Hey,
poor planning.
Sydney's birthday is the 23rd.
Foot in mouth. Hammond, why would you do that to Sydney?
Well, we've actually done really good. We've actually separated it out very well, but it ends up being three solid days of partying. So on the 26th, no one wants to do anything.
That's great. At least it's before Christmas. After Christmas would really suck. But before, at least you can kind of say like, hey, I was here first.
My father-in-law and his brother both had the same birthday of December 31st, exactly 5 years apart.
Wow. So you guys celebrate everything all at once.
Yeah, my brother-in-law's birthday is the 17th. My dad's is the 9th.
Wow, gosh.
December is kind of a rough month for us.
Yeah, I feel like we've had this conversation before where I know it's just party, 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 party. You know, you guys in Utah, you never stop.
No, yeah, that's us. Utah, the party state.
The party state. Oh, man. Well, since I've been talking to Kristen and Sam for a while, Kristen, I wanted to ask you if you had any really geeky holiday traditions or stories or memories that you wanted to share with everybody.
Well, every time the family gets together, and this is both my husband's family and my family, we pull out Arkham Horror, the board game, and we see if we can down one of the elder gods.
That's awesome. So how many people participate?
If it's my family, there's a total of 8 of us. And if it's his family, it's a total of 4 of us.
Wow. So, I mean, 8, that's a good amount of people around to play. Because it's like a tabletop game, right? It's not like D&D?
Correct. Very much like that, except you have little board pieces that you move around, so you can visualize it a bit better.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Has it been around as long as D&D?
No, not at all. I think it's actually pretty recent. Early, maybe late 2000s it came out.
Okay, so like 5 to 6 years old, maybe 10 years, maybe 10.
Yeah, something cool. Like that.
So, is it something that you brought home, or was it Kyle that introduced it to you, or?
It was actually something we both found together. There was this great game shop in Chicago, and we were looking for something to play where we had to beat the board. So, you know, we wouldn't get into actual fist fights because we were facing off against one another. And we found it. We love Cthulhu Mythos. So we brought it home. We tried it out. It's complicated as heck. We spent at least a week trying to figure out how to play this thing. But once we figured it out, it's been amazing. And this past week, we finally beat Cthulhu.
Nice.
Nothing says Christmas like beating Cthulhu.
Right?
Exactly. Well, you're thankful to live another year.
He's green, and he kind of hangs from, you know, the heaven above with, you know, mistletoe-like tentacles, right? That's how it goes. That's Cthulhu.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure H.P. Lovecraft loves everything you just said.
Yeah. He he's there. He's there to kiss you with the tentacles. That's...
Just lovingly stroke your cheek.
Hi, I'm the Dune that came to Sarnath. What's your name?
Oh my god! I'm envisioning like Christmas Cthulhu tentacle porn as this. This tentacle kind of like sticks at the end of the tentacle in your ear, kind of wiggles it around a bit. And...
I'll show you my mysterious case of Charles Dexter Ward.
Gross. Oh, man. That's hilarious. I don't really play any games at the holidays. Sam, do you guys have any family board games or things like that at the holidays?
Not really. We just mostly watch all like the standard Christmas specials, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, The Grinch. Mm. I know we tried once to work in the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special, but that didn't go well.
Yeah, that's an uphill battle even for me.
It's only like 20 minutes, so I don't know why it's so horrible.
Oh, man. Well, there's a couple of things.
It feels like an Eternia, though, doesn't it?
Oh,
Hammond, wow. 1 point. 1 point for Hammond. Well played. There's a couple of Christmas specials that I just can't do. I don't care for the Star Wars Christmas special at all. Not my thing.
I mean, you're not into 20 minutes of Wookiee grunting for the... That's it?
No. Not at all. I'm trying to think about some of the... I mean, I don't want to get too into Christmas specials because you and I are going to talk about some cool stuff tomorrow night, Hammond. And I know that I've talked about Christmas specials on TCC before, but the one movie I usually do get to watch every year is the Muppet Christmas Carol. That's usually my big one. So, Sam, as far as a geeky Christmas memory or Christmas tradition, do you guys have anything in your house?
Not really. I grew up in, like, a very tiny, tiny village, and my dad was a hunter, so about the weirdest thing we did, I think, was decorate all the taxidermy animals that were around.
That's awesome.
So we put garland on...
As a warning to Rudolph and Santa, if you stop too long, you might end up here.
Well, we always had like moose horns around, so we put garland and Christmas bulbs on them. It seemed like a thing to do.
Oh man, I just Christmas lights around like a stuffed fox or something would just be hilarious.
I think we had a marten and an Arctic wolf that we would like tie a bow around. The photos are somewhere.
And was it one of those like taxidermy situations where the Arctic wolf was meant to be looking aggressive and prowling, or was he more regal? So he looked okay with a Christmas bow.
Oh no, it was just a head, and it was totally snarling.
So you find like the frilliest, most sparkle filled Christmas bow you can find to decorate.
Yeah, we would hang like icicles from its teeth.
That's awesome. It strikes me as like it reminds me of a Christmas special that you'd see from like the 80s.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. For me, the thing I try to do at the holidays, and I'm a little sad that I'm probably not going to get to do it this year because of a number of reasons, mostly time, but I usually watch The Lord of the Rings, the extended edition. I don't get into The Hobbit. I've seen them at the holidays, but it's not like a thing that I watch all the time. But over the last, I don't know, 10 to 15 years, because you get some downtime at the holidays, The Lord of the Rings is usually something that I watch because I really like it. I don't like watching it in teeny chunks. Like, I prefer to get at least, you know, one disc done at a time, if not one movie done in one sitting. But since I've lost my television and my surround sound, I really don't feel like watching it on an iPad or a laptop screen or with earbuds over Netflix. So I think I'm going to hold off until I can replace some of my home entertainment system, and maybe I'll watch it in springtime, or if there's some snowstorms later on this year, maybe I'll take an opportunity then to watch it. But it's not a Christmassy movie, but it's definitely one of the things that I tend to hit over the holidays for sure.
Did you listen to the Beyond the Playlist I did with Brian where we talked about Christmas movies? I brought that one up.
No, I didn't talk about, I didn't listen to that one. Yeah, Brian,
we talked
Brian?
About, we talked Ibbit.
Oh, Ibbit, cool.
We talked about movies we watched during Christmas time, and I brought up Sweeney Todd because it came out around Christmas time, and also it's such a Christmas film. Lord of the Rings films because it came out around Christmas time and I have time to watch all of them. And then Chronicles of Narnia the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe are my three that I brought up.
Oh, yeah. The Narnia, that would be a good Christmas movie for sure. Yeah, maybe not the other ones.
Like I got a lot.
Voyager,
I got a lot of crap.
For... And some of the, what's the second one?
Silver Chair.
Right.
Prince Caspian in the Silver Chair.
Yeah. Do you prefer the first one over the other two?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah. Well, because that starts off in the wintertime, doesn't it? Because the whole thing is about the Ice Queen. It's been a long
time. Yeah. And the whole gig is it's always winter and never Christmas, and they know the kids are winning when Santa Claus shows up and gives them cool gifts.
Nice. I have to watch that movie again. It's been far too long since I've seen that.
Yeah,
do you watch the 80s one, or do you watch the new ones?
Well, I have both, if that says anything about the kind of person I am. I do like the Qui-Gon Jinn Aslan more than the British one. But yeah. I think I like the kids better in the BBC one than I do in the new one, if that makes any sense.
Yes, because the Aslan mouth from the 80s one was super weird and puppety.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So I like Qui-Gon Jinn, but I don't like the kids. But I like the kids in the BBC one better. I think they're more likable.
Yeah.
I remember watching and liking the original when I was a kid, but I mean, I don't think I've gone back to watch it as an adult. And knowing me, it probably wouldn't hold up for me. So, although surprisingly, the Neverending Story totally does.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah. No, I know. I don't want to go down the whole can of worms. I'm also trying to balance this whole bringing people in, people out. Alistair is around, and he's going to be popping on in about 5 or 10 minutes, I think. So I'm just trying to get that organized. But I think I don't know. I think the only other thing I can think of that's like a geeky, Christmas memory for me that like the big ones would be anything Lego. It's always Lego with me, and I wanted to, but I didn't this year. Put the Imperial Shuttle Tidarium on my Christmas list. They're just Lego is just too darn expensive. It's one of those big kid toys that you have to have. I don't know. I feel even stupid suggesting it, to family that says, "What do you want for Christmas, Joel?" It's like, well, I would like some dress pants and because the things that I need and some nice clothes. There's always I really like that kind of stuff at Christmas too. But it's just like, I would also like some Lego.
Mom, can I have the Death Star? Can I have the Death Star, Mom?
Yeah. See, the thing is, like, I don't like the Death Star toy. I know that's the big thing that everybody thinks is awesome, but it's not my thing.
No, I'm actually not a fan of it either. I like the Shuttle Tiberian. Tiderian?
Yeah, Tiderium, yeah.
And then I like the new X-Wings. Look really nice with the split turbo engines, the new ones. Those are
cool.
Yeah,
yeah, and there's an elastic on them, apparently, so that you can, like, they'll snap open. Like, they actually have, like, a...
Oh.
Yeah, which is not... I think it would be better if they opened up slowly, but because I know that you can do that kind of stuff with Lego, but I thought the snap was a little bit weird because I can't remember who or where I saw one. I think, maybe it was a YouTube review because I was looking at stuff like that. Not for this movie, but for Force Awakens. I guess it was last Christmas I was probably looking at that stuff because those toys all would have been up. I prefer the more traditional stuff. Like the TIE fighters and the speeders and the snow speeders are really cool. Some toys don't really work that well as Lego, but others, like other Star Wars things, really do. Just kind of a yay or nay. Has anybody seen Rogue One yet?
No.
No.
Nope.
So I'm going with my family on the 21st. I think it's like we're doing it as a Christmas thing. So I've got like 2 weeks of no spoilers.
Oh, goodness. You have to plug your ears and close your eyes.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that people that are fans of Star Wars tend to know that people get really upset and wouldn't want, to spoil it for anybody else. So anybody that's doing a spoiler review tends to, like, warn you. Or they just don't say anything. They just say, it's good. Go see it. And it's like, well, sweet. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm seeing it anyway.
So we know how it ends. They build the Death Star and Princess Leia gets captured.
Have you seen the memes of the Star Wars A New Hope poster, and they're like, sequel to Rogue One leaked.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen three or four of them now, and it's not as funny, but the first one that I saw, it was Luke at the homestead, you know, with 1 foot up on mm-hmm. the cliff, and he's looking at the two moons kind of thing. It was one of those rare posters that you don't really see about A New Hope, because A New Hope, it's usually like the big painting ones, you know? But anyway, I caught that, and I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, I guess we're down to Hammond for what you do for geeky holiday stuff.
Well, Christmas Day, we usually end up putting puzzles together.
Oh, fun.
And playing with the toys the kids get and stuff like that. But we don't really do games and stuff until New Year's. And that's where we break out the Cards Against Humanity and the Hand and Foot and
right.
that kind of stuff is on New Year's Eve. But mostly Christmas is, you know, putting puzzles together and playing with whatever toys or assembling whatever things the kids get or that we get. Last year, I was flying my drone around in the snowstorm, and I mean, it was just fun.
Right on.
And then, like I said, I try to sit down and watch, you know, Sweeney Todd and Lord of the Rings around Christmas time. Like, I watch Army of Darkness every Ash Wednesday.
That's great. So how is Sweeney Todd a Christmas movie?
Because it was released like a week before Christmas. And that horror movie London that it's set in feels very, very cold and wintry.
And ghost stories, too, used to be a tradition back in the day.
Yeah, actually, there's a movie called The Amazing Mr. Blunden that came out in like 1972. And it's about these kids who interact with some ghosts. And it's kind of this family story. And I guess in the UK, it's still a really big deal as far as Christmas time goes. But not many people here in the States have heard of it. It's a really, really good movie, though.
Kristen, any movies that you guys get a chance to chill out and watch? I mean, I or video games, just knowing that how involved you are with all that.
Oh, goodness. Well, last year for video games, it was Dragon Age Inquisition. But most of the years, we get through all of the Harry Potter movies.
Wow.
It is a feat. But usually we have it on in the background, right? Because the movies aren't exactly feats of cinematic brilliance. But they're fun to have on in the background because they have great characters. The magic looks cool for the most part. Mm. And, you know, the Harry Potter story is just so engaging.
And at least the first movie, I remember there's a Christmas, right? Or is that the second one?
No, it's all every year they go home for Christmas, and Harry usually has to be there by himself and, you know, mope around the castle and the school because no one wants to take him home.
But the cool stuff happens to him when he's there, though. Like, that's
Yeah.
So I actually have just finally started reading Harry Potter.
How are you enjoying
Sydney's
it?
Sydney's going to be so proud of you.
So I started last night. I'm only through the first chapter, and of course, so none of it was news because it was essentially the opening few scenes of the first movie. I think I've seen the first movie twice, but everything else I've only ever just seen the once, maybe twice for the Prisoner of Azkaban. But I mean, so far, I mean, it's fun. I like the flavor. Like, I like the style of it, and it's obviously written for, you know, younger people for this book. I know it develops as it goes on. My friend Madison loaned me her copies of the first two books, just cause she figured I'd get through the first one pretty fast. So I'm going to try to take some time over the holidays and read as opposed to watch a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm still going to watch Christmas specials and things, but I rather than watching a lot of movies, I thought I would just try to enjoy some peace and quiet and read a little bit. And you guys get through all like 7 or 8 movies?
Yeah, all of them. I mean, it's usually a 2-day affair. It's not a full day thing, but 2 days we can get through all of them.
Oh my God. I don't think I could do that in 2 days.
So this last week, we went to Universal Studios Hollywood and spent the better part of 1 day in Harry Potter World. And Sydney and Audrey and Stacey all got robes and wands, and they were living the Harry Potter experience like to the fullest. And then next week, we go to the symphony and they're going to play the first movie while the symphony plays the score underneath it live while we sit there and watch it.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
And we're doing that for Sydney. That's on Sydney's birthday. So we're going to be doing that on the 23rd.
Oh, are they going to go dressed up in their robes?
Oh, yeah. They got the robes and the wands. Yeah, I have a wand and a Ravenclaw scarf that I got because I just don't see me wearing the robes ever. And for as expensive as they were, it wasn't worth it. But everybody else is going to be dressed to the nines.
That's fantastic. Wow. See, and then I wish we did more stuff like that around here. Like, I'd love to go see a movie with a live score.
Yeah. When we went to Universal, though, Sydney is a proud, proud Hufflepuff. And when we went to Universal, Megatron from the Transformers ride totally just trashed Hufflepuff, and it was hysterical.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I like that kind of cross-pollination. You know, are we talking, like, 80s? Megatron, or are we talking like the new Megatron?
It was the new Megatron.
Yeah. Did he at least have the right voice, or did they use the new
actor? Oh, no. They do a great job with the voices. Oh, cool. And another guy comes out dressed as Optimus Prime, and he's all noble and sounds just like the guy from the cartoon, and great.
Very cool. Yeah. I imagine the costumes at those kind of places must be just out of sight.
They're great. There was a really good
Hagrid at Halcon this year. He was wearing like 12-inch platform shoes. But I'm pretty sure his beard was real. I don't know about his hair, but his beard was definitely real. Yeah, it was
awesome.
Did
you pull on it?
No, but I respected him enough to just give them the props and send him on his way. But no, it was really good costume. I remember Mike and I were both a little bit disappointed when we actually realized that he was on platform shoes. For a second, we thought, oh my God, like, you're perfect. You're like 6.5 feet tall. But no, he was on some big shoes. I hope we didn't lose Kristen. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, cool. Once again, Skype has decided to put Hammond and Sam across my screen, and Alistair and Kristen are teeny tiny little blips at the bottom, and it was not clear whether they were still there.
It's just accurate to size for me. I'm just a tiny little girl. There's only so much space I can take up.
Hey, Skype, don't mess with Sonya, man. She will mess you up. Alistair, what's going on, man?
I've just got back from work, so just a little bit tired, but otherwise I'm good.
Good, good. You and Sam both. You both worked late tonight, so I appreciate you guys coming by.
Hey, Alistair, no, can I ask you about something?
Absolutely.
Have you heard of The Amazing Mr. Blunden?
The Amazing Mr. Blunden?
Yeah, it's a movie that came out in the UK in about 1971 or 72.
No, that one's passed me by.
Okay.
It just sounds like somebody who blunders around in London, perhaps.
No, it's actually a really good movie. If you can find it or get a chance to see it, please do.
I will do. Okay. I'll add that to my list.
So one of the things that we were talking about, holiday food, Alistair, and really geeky holiday either memories or traditions that you do. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like Christmas related. Like I watch Lord of the Rings at Christmas time usually, so it's not really a Christmas movie, but you know, it's kind of what I do. What kind of things have you done? And I guess how has that changed? Because of course you would have had, you know, different Christmas traditions over in Britain than you do here.
Well, one of the big things for me has always been mince pies.
Oh, nice.
And they've always seemed to be really difficult to get hold of. They had them last year at Walmart, but they don't have them now. But yeah, they're kind of cupcake sized, and they have mincemeat in and stuff. And they're really good. This is something that's very festive. It always reminds me of Christmas. It's just one of those things that I've always had. In terms of actual traditions and things, I suppose it's always been different for me in that I had my own family Christmas when I lived in the north of England, and then I ended up moving to London, and I was away from family. So when I was there, it was a very different kind of thing, and not that dissimilar to here in some regards, just because I'm not with family, I guess is the big thing for it, really. But yeah. I think a lot of the traditions themselves aren't that dissimilar, in all honesty.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, you find like a lot of the turkey dinners similar and the Christmas specials and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, yeah. I think it may just be kind of like, you'll get some slight British regional. So I think some people have Yorkshire puddings, which isn't a pudding at all, along with their turkey dinner. Just lashing lots of gravy. Now I'm hungry. Again, it's very, very similar, which for me is great. It's nice to know that I can be in a completely different country and Christmas is still Christmas.
Yeah, you know, it's nice that there's a lot of things that are pretty universal. I guess and helps that, you know, both countries are English speaking. That's probably a big help for sure. Anything that you do on your own that's kind of nerdy, like we were talking about board games earlier, anything like that kind of pops into mind?
I always used to watch Home Alone. That was always a big thing, but the last couple of years I've stopped doing that. And I'm trying to remember what I ended up watching last year. There was something this is really annoying because I can't even remember what it was, but I remember that there was a movie that I had not seen in absolutely years. I think it was Santa Claus the Movie.
Oh, Allen?
No, that's the Santa Claus.
Oh, okay.
No, Santa Claus the Movie was the one with John Lithgow and Dudley Moore.
Okay.
And that was one that I always used to watch when I was a little kid. And I always took it as like the most scientifically plausible explanation for Santa about how he could get down chimneys. You know, there's all these things like, you know, which people do with him squeezing down in it. He just dematerializes and then rematerializes like he's using a transporter in Star Trek. And to me, it was like, well, that makes sense. That explains why he can get everywhere. Nice. He just beams in. It's this wonderful 80s movie where it kind of shows Santa from the beginning. Dudley Moore is one of the elves and he gets promoted, but he makes a complete cock up of everything and ends up leaving the North Pole trying to make a name for himself and show Santa that he can actually do stuff. He partners up with John Lithgow, who's this seedy businessman, and he tries to spin a Christmas 2. So the idea is you have Christmas in December and he has a new holiday season that's in the middle of June and things kind of go by and stuff. But it's a genuinely good Christmas movie about Santa, like proper old 80s one. And it's by the Solkinds. So the same people behind the Superman movies.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an odd kind of pairing.
That explains why it's a Santa origin story.
Yes, it is. I mean, you even have the fact that he has a green suit and his wife, Mrs. Claus, is like, no, I prefer red. Make it red.
Nice. That's great.
Completely bypassing Coca-Cola, of course. They have no involvement in the movie.
Yeah. I'm wondering, when you think about stuff like that, I wonder if you dug into like some of what would be, you know, renowned as like really good movies or good classic, you know, films, and then search through like the same producers, production company, or even just the same director, and not necessarily going back to their very, very first pictures, because obviously those are not going to be as good as their, you know, things that they've had more practice with. But I'm wondering if you can find like some steaming piles of film from like, you know, really well-known directors and producers and stuff like that. I think it'd be pretty funny for the juxtaposition. I think it'd be really, you know,
how you can do so good but yet fall so far.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about what the geekiest thing I've ever done over Christmas is, and I don't really. My family is, you know, we like geeky stuff, but we're not like, not everybody is into all of that, so it's not a big group effort. Like it's usually something I would do on my own, or maybe my sister and I would go see. Well, I mean, Star Wars, I guess, is now a Christmas tradition, which I'm excited about. I'm glad that they're not summer movies. I like that they're Christmas films. Does everybody have plans to go see Rogue One?
Friday for me.
Oh, wow. Cool. I was telling folks earlier, I've got to wait until the 21st.
Ah.
Yeah. It should be interesting to be.
I'm going to wait for Netflix.
Nice. Are you just pulling the piss, or are you serious?
No, I don't have any plans, and we're so busy. it might be New Year's before I get to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I
suppose.
Sorry, go ahead, Alistair.
I was just going to say, I suppose that it's one of those movies which a lot of people are excited about. It's the general gist of the plot people know because it was in an opening call of text back with the very first movie. But I think that because there's still some idea as to what the end of it is, with it being a prequel, I think more people are excited about episode 8 next year.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that there's going to be more hybrid.
More eight, kind of accessible, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree.
But it's still nice to have something during the wait. The fact that we have a different Star Wars movie every year is a surprising place for us to be.
Yeah. What's the one that's in between episode 8 and the next one? That's the Han Solo
origin? It is. Yeah.
So I can't say I'm as excited about that as I am about Rogue One. You know, and Rogue One, it has, I mean, it looks good. I'm excited about a lot of the trailers that they've shown. The only thing that has me just a little bit hesitant is the number of known actors that are in it.
Like Childish Gambino, or I forgot what his name was before he...
Forest Whitaker, and like just...
you mean from Rogue One?
Sorry, Rogue One. Yes. Yeah. No. No.
Oh,
not.
Sorry, I thought you mean Solo.
No. No. Oh. Well, no. No. Actually, that casting, I actually think is pretty bang on. But it's the Rogue One stuff. It's just like, I mean, I'm sure it will be good. I'm sure I will enjoy it. But I'm hoping that these actors are people that will melt away, and I'll just be into the characters. Although Forest Whitaker is the same dude in every film I've ever seen him in, so I don't have high hopes for that. I really don't.
I'm more interested in the new droid.
Okay, yeah.
You mean Alan Tudyk?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, is that who's playing him?
Yeah, he's doing the voiceover. Yeah.
I did not know that.
He also was the chicken in Moana.
I didn't know that either. Moana is on my holiday movie list. I'd like to go see that. Anybody have any Disney traditions? I mean, I know that Star Wars is now Disney, but like cartoon traditions on Christmas?
Mickey's Christmas Carol is one that I always watched when I was a kid. And I helped look after a 5 and a 6-year-old. And I was showing that to one of them this year. And it's basically Christmas Carol, but with Mickey and Donald Duck and all those other ones playing all the different roles. And it's just a good half hour feature of it.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite animated specials too, and one of the ones that was drawn on paper back in the day. Like it's so pretty to watch because I mean there's a lot of snow and like every time one of these characters takes a step, like they've got to animate the snow moving and it's all done by hand. Like it's just that kind of stuff is just the love that went into that was really really good. Yeah. And it's not the greatest music, but it definitely brings me back to my childhood whenever I hear it.
Well, what was interesting as well was that the reason why he was staying over with me was because his mother was going to a performance at the theater of that show. And so she was just explaining it to him briefly and he was saying, oh, can I see it? And I was like, well, yeah, in a way you can. Because I've got the Disney version if you want to watch the Disney version and get the same story. And so he absolutely loved it. So the great thing was that she went to see it at the theater. He saw an actual stage performance. And then he got to see the Disney movie. So they're both getting the same story in a way. So they would have been able to talk about it afterwards.
Oh, fun. That's really
still
cool.
The same gist. But yeah, he's really excited. I did give him the option of the Jim Carrey live action version, but he wanted the Disney animated one, which was the right choice.
Yeah. If you're looking for something,
I like to give them choice, but yeah.
If you're looking for something to suggest to them next time, the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yes.
I second that.
Yeah, that was last year.
Oh, so they have seen that.
Yes.
All right. Cool.
And that will probably be on again this year, I'm sure.
Yeah.
No. Because it is so good.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, like, I mean, as soon as I start thinking about it, I start humming the song that the Ghost of Christmas...
The Marley, we're Marley and Marley.
Yeah. And the whole movie is just, for me, it's all about Rizzo. Like, that is, he's my man. I really enjoy the rats. I don't know why.
Well, especially when his tail gets lit on fire.
Hey, light the lamp, not the rat, Put me out!
So unfortunately, Lou and Ryan were not able to make it on Wednesday night for our live recording on the Citadel Cafe. However, I was able to catch up with both of these chaps tonight. So welcome, Lou. Welcome, Ryan. How's it going?
Not too bad. Good.
I'm happy to be able to do this. And I think, because Ryan, this was your suggestion, you'd offered to like call in and do like a segment just because you missed the show. And I thought, why don't I just try and catch up with everybody that couldn't make it for holiday schedules and whatever, and then piece it all together and publish it next week as opposed to rushing to get it done before the weekend. Because I don't have a new Citadel Cafe coming out until the new year. So there's no, it's not like it's going to be hot on the heels of a live episode next Wednesday. So I thought, get to hang out and talk about stuff. So I know we've all had busy weeks, so I want to try to kind of prompt and get right into it. So the thing that we were talking about on Wednesday night was a geeky tradition or a geeky pastime that you look forward to doing over the holidays, whether it's something you do on your own, whether it's something that you do with family and friends, whatever it is, we were kind of sharing that with everybody. So Lou, I got a funny feeling that you probably have at least one.
We usually go to my mother-in-law's for Christmas, and sort of what's become our tradition, probably going on the last 3 or 4 years, is after dinner, everybody plays Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, nice.
And so there's somewhere between 6 and 10 of us there, depending on who can make it for the holidays. And we usually end up playing Cards Against Humanity. And it's really weird to be playing Cards Against Humanity with your mother-in-law and her boyfriend and your brothers-in-law and their girlfriends. It's a kind of a weird game to be playing with family on the holidays.
Well, especially if it happens to be if anybody's bringing home a new girlfriend for the holidays.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. which has happened.
Trial by fire, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cards Against Humanity is a favorite of mine. It does tend to happen over the holidays, but more so on New Year's, I find. Tends to get cracked out.
My only gripe is my mother-in-law loves it. So every time we go to visit, we end up playing. Mm. So I've now played so much that I don't even laugh anymore when things get played. I just go, aha, I see why that wins. And everybody's like, why aren't you laughing? And I'm like, dude, I've played so much of this game at this point. This stuff isn't funny anymore.
The best part about Cards Against Humanity, and it's something that we've dabbled with at holiday family gatherings, is that it gives people who have that rough sense of humor the excuse to have that rough sense of humor and be like, it's the game, guys. And I'm not necessarily saying like racist people get to be racist, but like people who love to tell really hard jokes in mixed company, kind of this is their game. And like I have family members, like it would not work at all on my side of the family, because my mom, we like to joke, she doesn't have a sense of humor. She does, of course, have a sense of humor. Everybody does. But she just doesn't like the lewd jokes. And a majority of the cards that really make you laugh are the lewd ones. Because I find in Cards Against Humanity, you're either getting a really funny lewd joke or just a really boring combination of words.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, we play Cards Against Humanity for usually on Christmas break. And my favorite moment was we were at the in-laws, and my brother-in-law's grandmother was there, who is a 90-year-old British woman, loves the Queen to bits. And I remember we got her to say, the one card was smells like old people, was a good one. Hearing a 90-year-old British woman say that was really good. And then also something to do with big black dildos was also really good. And she loved it. She was all in. She's like, this game is fabulous. It was really interesting. And I mean, I just love what Cards Against Humanity will do to just bring the sense of humor out of people and really just, you know, kind of loosen people up. And it's just a great, one of those great games. Actually, it reminds me, I need to look and see if I can, I need to order another expansion pack, because like you, Lou, I'm sort of getting to the point where my father-in-law like knows the certain cards off by heart. And he's like, That's not funny. That's not funny. Perfect. Big black dildo. We're all set. You know? Yeah. So I'm kind of leaning towards picking up an expansion for Christmas.
How many expansions at this point do you have?
I just have the first two.
Okay. See, I have five.
Oh, well, yeesh. So do you know what? I haven't done this, but I feel like I have to like go through all the cards and maybe just take the ones out that just wouldn't work. Just wouldn't be funny in any combination. I'm trying to think of them right now, but some of them are like kind of high level and only funny if you know what they are.
We've taken to writing our own and inserting them, and it's weird, awkward family jokes that nobody gets but us.
Oh, that's fun.
So they're cards that if I play with friends, people go, "This isn't funny," and I'm like, "Yeah, it's an inside family joke." So you could just toss that one away, because there's one that there was a joke made where there's a card that says blank man, and then everybody has to play a card. Well, right. Someone had Batman, so it became Batman Man. So the inside joke became Batman Man. So now there is a card in the deck that we've all wrote on that says it's Batman Man. And Batman Man. Mm-hmm. So every time it plays, the family, that's always the card that wins, because we all just start laughing because it's Batman Man. Yeah. And whenever I play with friends and that card comes up, they're like, "Batman Man, what is this?" And I'm like, "Yep, doesn't make anybody laugh here, but boy, does it make the family laugh."
I think one of the things that Cards Against Humanity could do better is have more expansions like Munchkin, like themed expansions. Like if you made an entire game about making fun of Game of Thrones or making fun of Friends or Seinfeld or just something where if you had a lot of family members that were really into Disney movies or anything like that. I mean, I imagine copyright and stuff probably gets a little bit squeegee on that. But if you had the right property, then, you know, for example, like a South Park version would be killer, like because it would be, you know, a nice fit in that way. Like that kind of stuff would be interesting. The other thing that I can't take credit for this, but someone else that has played a lot and has a lot of expansions, what they do is they divvy up the cards amongst, like, not all of the players, but say, like, you know, if there's 12 people playing, they might give split the decks up amongst four people and say, flip through these quickly. Like, don't read them. Just kind of graze them over. And anything that you've played before or you find, oh, yeah, this card somehow comes up a lot, just discard it.
That's a really good rule. I like that.
Yeah. So then it's not one person, like you said, Ryan, curating the deck. Mm-hmm. It's four or five people. So then you don't know which ones they've tossed. They might have tossed your favorites. They might have tossed the ones that you hate. You don't know. So then there's at least a little bit more of an air of a mystery for the people that do play the game a lot and, you know, have copies at their homes and stuff like that. So I really like Munchkin, but it's a flavor for people. Like people have to appreciate Dungeons and Dragons to get the jokes and...
You know, yeah, that would be a tough one for either of my family because they're kind of hard to get into. Like The Contender is another game similar to Cards Against Humanity where I enjoyed the couple rounds I played at Nurtacular when they were beta testing it. So I picked it up and then I tried to play it with the family and I was kind of like, this isn't funny. Like, you know, it kind of requires that buy-in. And I feel like Cards Against Humanity like gets that instant buy-in because it's like, oh, I get it. Golden shower, that's a pee joke. Perfect. You know, it works on a base level of people cracking wise and being terrible for it.
And there's a couple of other games out there now that are like it, you know, like Exploding Kittens gosh, there's another one from The Oatmeal too where he was part of it and that apparently did really well on Kickstarter and friend of mine, John, has got Exploding Kittens and he thinks it's really fun.
Oh, yeah. Exploding Kittens, I saw that. There's another one called by Max Temkin, who's the guy who was with Cards Against Humanity, is Secret Hitler. Another one. I feel like that one's more political intrigue than I mean, it's still like a Hitler game, but...
Yeah.
There's and someone gets to be the Hitler.
There's a bunch of non-Cards Against Humanity expansions now, too. There's something called, like, Angry Cats Against Humans or something like that, and it's like all the cards in the deck are themed about being about weird cats and stuff, and you're supposed to just shuffle them into your Cards Against Humanity deck. There's another one like crabs for eating people or something like that too. I've seen them at the local store, and I'm like, that's a little too weird and esoteric for me.
Yeah, so it looks like on the Cards Against Humanity, they've gotten rid of expansions and now have the blue box, the green box, the red box. So the green box is brand new. Red box is expansions 1 through 3. Blue box is 4 through 6. And and then there's like, 50 blank cards. So there's a lot, but there's not a lot. Oh, so there are like geek packs. So 30 cards about video games, D&D, Game of Thrones, 90s nostalgia pack, sci-fi pack, fantasy pack. So there are like base packs you can buy, but it doesn't sound like a whole lot of stuff. So like fantasy pack, co-written with blah, blah, blah. Fabulous. Yeah, this is terrible. This is not very well written. But
I have a bunch of the expansion stuff from going to conventions. If you go to PAX every year, they give out like there's 4 mini packs at each convention, and each mini pack has like 9 cards in it. And the only problem is the cards are themed towards the convention. So I've had to take them all out because when I play them with my family, people don't get who Penny Arcade is. So they make a Penny Arcade joke. Well, if you don't read Penny Arcade, you don't get the joke. So,
right.
So it's things like that. And I'm like, oh, that's really clever. Like one of the ones I got through that is, and you guys will get it because you play Blizzard games. One of the cards that came with the pack is need additional pylons.
Yeah, no one would get that besides me. So you don't play it, right? So it wouldn't be funny.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right on.
But at Nerdtacular, I know that card came up, and like around the table, everyone kind of gets it, and it's funny again. But Cards Against Humanity is a lot of fun, and I mean, even we don't play it as often as we used to. It's usually once per year, and it's usually once. Yeah, most of the people, by the time we crack it out, maybe we won't this year because we have Caden and we'll probably have to like leave the house before we get to play. But yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. I love card games, and it's not often I can convince other folks to play those type of games.
Yeah.
So it's nice that that's sort of been slipped in as the base. Like Munchkin, you mentioned Munchkin. I would love to play Munchkin, but I just can't find anybody who wants to play.
No, and they have to have already played before too. It depends on how long you're staying. If you're staying overnight and you've got family around for the whole weekend and some cousins want to learn, you can totally do it. But if it's just a one evening thing, like you spend half the time teaching people and it's not quite as good unless everybody else has played. So before we move on, I just found out that Paul Fox is on the line. So I'm going to add him to the Skype call.
Cool.
Paul, are you there?
Hello. Hello.
Hey, you sound fantastic, hey. Man. How are things?
Yeah, it's the holidays. Things are hectic as usual, but we're getting by.
Yeah. Now, are you, because I know you teach, are you done school for the semester?
No, I'm done with everything. I moved back to South Florida in September. Yeah.
Wait, so, what? Okay. So yeah. Wait a minute. So I was just touting this thing before you picked up saying that you were calling from Hong Kong, but I totally lied. So I knew
Florida's still pretty good, though.
Yeah. I mean, I knew you were visiting Florida the last time I saw something go by on Facebook, just to show you how often I'm on Facebook. But I didn't know you'd moved.
No, we had we've kind of moved back on a semi-permanent basis. So we're just here for now.
Glad to have you within a time zone, which is
yes,
cool.
Yes, it makes things easier for a change.
Absolutely. And, you know what it was? I think it was the hurricane that you guys had in Florida there. That was when the last time I saw some posts from you was.
That, and from what I hear, it's quite warm in Florida today.
Yeah, we were, I want to say, in the mid-80s during the day, and it's somewhere in the 70s right now, so it's not too bad, but it's, you wouldn't know it's the holidays down here for sure.
Hmm. Well, it was nice talking to you, Paul. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, my Nana's super happy that it's warm down there, so.
My folks are down there, too.
Yeah, my dad's down there, and today, like I was telling them earlier, it's with wind chill, it's like -20 here. And my dad called to just go, hey, I hear it's really cold up there. You know what I'm wearing? He goes, you know what I'm wearing? I'm like, what? He goes, a pair of shorts. Ha.
Oh, I thought he was going to say nothing at all. I'm like, Dad, go inside.
Nice.
You know what? You know what? That is a kind of a joke my dad would do too. So
yeah. Oh, that's funny. My my mom was sending me pictures of a band concert. My mom plays the flute in a number of concert bands, and they were doing their local Christmas concert in the complex where they are. A bunch of it's a seniors community. Anyway, one of my relatives in New Brunswick wrote back, and for the lack of a, I'm paraphrasing, but he essentially said, "Screw you, Joan." And that's all. And then he sent a picture of his thermometer out of his kitchen window. I was like, concise, Ken. Very well done. I think there was happy holidays hidden in there somewhere, but it was overshadowed by some vulgarities, which I thought was pretty good. So one of the things, Paul, that we were just talking about with some of the traditions that we all do over the holidays that are a little bit on the geeky side, board games came up on Wednesday night. Actually, Kristen brought up Arkham Horror, a tabletop board game that she plays with her family. And Lou was just talking about Cards Against Humanity. Doesn't have to be a board game, but is there anything in particular that's, you know, on the nerdy side that you and your family does over the holidays?
No, not really. Because I don't have any brothers and sisters, so it's just me, the wife, and our little one, and my parents. And we do the traditional stuff, you know, the trimming of the tree and putting up decorations, those kinds of things. And then, of course, the unwrapping of many gifts on Christmas Day.
Mm. Do you escape at all to go to the movies or take in anything in that way?
Yeah, it's the past 2 years now I've set up a kind of Star Wars tradition, right? Going out to watch a Star Wars movie. And I guess it's going to be an annual thing according to what Disney wants to do. So that's a thing. We try and get out to movies whenever we can. And every year is a little bit different in terms of the offering, but it's certainly a season that I look forward to for movie watching.
Yeah, I'm happy with the Star Wars tradition now too. It's a little bit early, because my family all wants to wait until everybody's off work and things are a little bit, you know, less stressful. So we're going on the 21st, I think, to go see Rogue One. I'm avoiding spoiler zones. Although I've noticed quite a bit that people have been pretty good, about.
Well, like the spoilers, I mean, I can understand Force Awakens, but I think with Rogue One, the joke, I still think it's a joke. I don't actually know if there's probably stuff you can spoil. But the joke is like, har har, watch A New Hope and it spoils the ending. You don't need to spoil it. But I know it's the journey in the movie that I'm hearing is really good. And you obviously don't want to spoil those beats. But I think a lot of people are being respectful because it's like, I don't know, maybe it's not as big a thing because the ending, you know, the ending and whatnot. But I people, you're right, have been pretty respectful, but it's only been out for a couple of days. It takes the internet like about a week to turn in on itself. And
yeah,
there'll be some hashtags coming soon, I believe, probably.
Yeah, I'm not even seeing reviews, and those that I am catching quickly, I'm scrolling by as fast as I can. And there are people that I know will like it, and surprise, surprise, they liked it. So it's not a huge deal. Usually people in the Frog Pants community, you know, people, nerds that you know that are big Star Wars fans. But I'm happy to see that no one's like been trouncing it. Cause I don't want any reviews at all. Like I kind of want to go into it blind and kind of make my own opinion. But what I'm seeing is the posts that like, hey, about to see Star Wars, and everybody's excited. And then after that, there's just nothing. As people are just kind of like, everybody just form your own opinion. It's just this really weird, respectful zone right now on the internet, which I appreciate. I was mentioning on Wednesday that I watch Lord of the Rings usually over the holidays. It's something I find that I get the time to do with my downtime if I have a chance. And this year I won't because I don't have the right gear. I don't have the TV or the surround, or just it's kind of pointless to watch it on an iPad with headphones. I like movies. Movies in the holidays are kind of a thing for me. Just a lot of downtime, which is good. Ryan, do you guys have anything that you do that's, I mean, I know we talked about Cards Against Humanity, but anything on the nerdy side? I mean, I feel like there might be a video game story coming somewhere.
Like when I was a kid, there would always be that one toy, one video game, one thing you asked for that you knew you wanted to like deep dive into for the majority of Christmas Day. And I do that as a kid. I do that now, where I will always ask for like one thing that I can enjoy right away. And it's usually I think this year it's probably, like, this year I've asked for a couple things, but I asked for Pokemon Moon this year. I'm going to hold off, and I'm going to play it Christmas, over the Christmas break when I supposedly maybe get it. I don't know. We do Secret Santa, and we kind of give a bunch of stuff just to kind of keep it a surprise. So, you know, it might be like the day after I go buy my for myself. I don't know yet, but it's one of those things where it's I always kind of save up a couple of games for over the holiday break because I don't often take breaks. But I'm pretty good at saying, like, just shutting everything else out and focusing on family and home and myself for the Christmas break, and kind of just, I don't know, a lot of people would call it like vegging, but I just see it as like doing not work, which is awesome every once in a while to not have to have the BlackBerry on and worrying about, oh, well, am I going to hit those print deadlines or whatever. So it's just nice to be able to lay back and play some video games and have some quiet time. That's the tradition that I've kept up for the last forever. So
it's funny when, you know, the things that we do kind of in our spare time, like podcasting or, you know, building websites, and the work that we do is kind of geeky anyway, so that when it comes time for the holidays, it's not like we gravitate, oh, it's time to do all the geeky things. Like, no, I'm kind of done. I could use a whole lot of nothing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like watch more TV, watch more movies. Like I don't often go to the movies anymore. And Rogue One is one of those things where it's starting to become a bit of a tradition where I drove about 3 hours to go with a friend who's a hardcore Star Wars nerd. And I'm kind of like a middling next to nothing Star Wars person. Like, I've seen them all, but I'm not like, oh my God, I can't wait. But going with someone who really appreciates it, especially Force Awakens, that was kind of like an eye-opening thing where it's like, I think I enjoy this more when I'm with someone who really, really, really enjoys it. So, yeah. And I don't see my friend as much as I would hope to. So making the trek to go to like the ultra awesome theater in Kingston, the closest would be Toronto, but trust me, no one wants to go to Toronto. I usually go in the opposite direction, and it's just nice to sort of chill. And actually he texted me and he's like, I guess this is going to be a yearly thing. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And eventually we'll be able to bring our kids and, you know, subject them to probably, I would say, like the first being like maybe episode 9. They're kind of young now, but
yeah,
you know, episode 9, what, that's like 3-4 years away, right? Am I doing the math right?
So there'd be, this is Rogue One, episode 8
is
2017, then 2018, 2019. So yeah, 3 years away.
2019, 2020, depending on how quickly, if they're able to turn these out once a year, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they haven't really set themselves up for sort of a quote unquote failure. I feel like, with 7 being so well done, I think 8-9 is just like a shoe-in. Maybe 9 could falter when they try to stick the landing. But, you know, Rogue One, pretty easy stuff. They steal the Death Star plans. Set that story up. You got the perfect ending because the ending is Star Wars. And then you got the Han Solo story. Well, that's Han Solo, young Han Solo, young Lando. Like, you can't, young Chewie, I guess, as well. You can't screw that up. I mean, that's pretty simple. But it'll be interesting to see what they do after episode 8, and maybe that'll be, or episode 9, I guess.
Yeah.
But
my fear is that these prequels and these in-betweens are not as exciting. I want them to be. Mm. It looks exciting. The trailers are fantastic. There's an awful lot of action going on. So I'm happy for that. And as much as I liked The Force Awakens, there was a lot of regurgitation. So I kind of hope that they have an opportunity here where they don't have to pay quite as much fan service. I mean, I know there's going to be some. I get that, and that's part of, you know, part of the appeal. But I don't think that they had to do a giant Death Star for Force Awakens. I mean, Death Planet, whatever you want to call it, Star Killer Base, like what? It could have been a ship. It could have been anything. You know.
I mean, I don't know if you've got something that can destroy a planet 30 years ago, and you need to improve upon that design. Why not build a giant planet that is a killer of multiple planets? That seems like the next logical step. If anything, they've been moving too quickly in the death-destroying or the planet-destroying technology.
Yeah.
That's okay. We will know more about 8, it sounds like, in a month or two.
Oh, cool.
That's good.
There was there was just news today that they're talking sometime between February, March, and April that they haven't decided when, but we're not going to have to wait too much longer before the first trailer for episode 8.
Man, you can imagine, after the success of Force Awakens, you can imagine the entire internet coming to a grinding halt when that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just in a good way. Like, just everybody just kind of stops what they're doing and watches the Star Wars trailer. Like, you know, it's kind of obscene, the power and then the new generation of people that are into it. So yeah, I agree. I'm definitely looking forward to more Star Wars Christmas releases. I think that's going to be a big thing. We're going this year as a family. We did last year. I went ahead and saw Force Awakens on my own, and then I went with the family again. But this year we're all waiting and going together. So I think that'll be cool. Right on. Well, I guess I should let you guys get back to your Friday evening. Thanks so much for taking the time. It was great to kind of pull you guys in where we didn't have time on Wednesday night. Before you guys take off, where can people find you guys online? Lou, we'll start with you.
Easiest place to find me is on Twitter. I am at BusyZombieLord. And I'll let Ryan plug where we're at.
Follow me at RMurphy on Twitter. Check out my website for all my podcasts and web design work, ryanmurphy.ca. And I'll give a special shout out, as Lou mentioned, to Zombies Ate My Podcast. It's a zombies podcast, as you might be guessing. Each week we break down the zombie news and Walking Dead spoilers. We're going to be recording next week. We've hidden a bunch of scheduling concerns and issues. So next week, for sure, before the holiday break, we're going to talk about the last two episodes of The Walking Dead that just aired, heading into the mid-season finale, and discussing what's coming next, what's come before, and whether or not we're looking forward to its return in February. You can find more about that and subscribe at zombiesatemypodcast.com.
And Paul, where can people find you online?
Well, you can find our podcast over at kongcast.com. That's KONGCAST.com. And we talk about films from Hollywood and films from Hong Kong and some other stuff in between. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, give us a listen.
Whoa, that's scary stuff. Hey, should we be worried about the kids in the audience?
No, it's all right. This is culture.
As you guys might have heard on the last segment, I was able to catch up with Ryan, Lou, and Paul. And I also happened to catch Mike and Phil before the holidays. So I thought I would just record everything separately and jam it all together in one giant holiday episode for the Citadel Cafe. So welcome, Mike. How's things?
Great, man. How are you doing, Joel?
Yeah, good. It's been like a really long time, like a whole 2 days since we last hung out at my place on Sunday. And Phil Root is here too. Hello.
How are you, Joel?
Still reeling from the delicious chili and rum and eggnog. I'm the high revels here in Dartmouth this weekend.
It looks very chilly up there.
Yeah, well,
more than down here.
Yeah, I combated
that
with some
words to use other than chili, I think. But
I'm sure.
yeah, it's been pretty cold today, actually. And already we've broken the first rule of podcasting, which is talking about the weather.
Talking about the weather. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, it's blame Phil. I had some people over on Sunday. It's obviously, as the holidays get closer, the parties become more frequent. So I actually made a huge crock pot of vegetarian chili on Sunday. And I, not to toot my own horn, but it turned out pretty good.
Nice.
It was very tasty, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the next time I make it, I think I would put more spice in it, because I was making for like, you know, 8 to 10 people, and you don't know who likes what spicy. So for me, I would have put a little bit more chili powder and maybe some more oregano and stuff in it. But as it turned out, like, I mean, as simple as it was, I was surprised at how good it was in terms of like not knowing. You know, it's one of those nice surprises when you're like, well, I've never made this before. I'm going to put all this stuff in a crock pot and come back 8 hours later and hope it looks like chili and not just warm bean dip. but success. It was actually pretty good.
And chili is one of those things that you can have, like, it was veggie chili, and I wouldn't have, you don't miss it.
No,
as much
you
as
don't.
You would have other, with other dishes.
Really? Yeah. And that dish would have been funny with beef or something in it. Like, it wouldn't have really matched everything, because it wasn't super tomato heavy. It was kind of a balance of everything with beans and tomatoes and all that kind of stuff. I think real chili is, there's no vegetables in it. Like, a real Texan chili is like tomato sauce and spices and beef. Like, that's it, right?
I don't know. I don't know why I always assumed corn would be in it too.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's different everywhere you go. And I mean,
oh, yeah.
I've had all kinds of recipes fly across my plate, but when you're cooking for that many people, you know, the crock pot is the way to go.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So one of the things that we were talking about on this episode was the geeky stuff that everybody does for traditions, you know, whether it's original, recent, or something that they've done for a really long time with their friends or family. Phil, any particular kind of geeky Christmas tradition stick out in your world?
Really recently, that kind of started last year when The Force Awakens came out. We went and saw it on Christmas Day, and we are going to Rogue One on Christmas Day this year.
Oh, cool.
So seeing as we have Star Wars movies lined up for like the next 10 years, we've kind of taken it upon ourselves to go, you know, it's just us. We don't have extended family down here.
Right.
So it's really easy for us to have a quiet Christmas. And, you know, whenever we feel like getting up and going to the movies, we go watch the new Star Wars movie.
Nice.
So it gives us something to look forward to. You know, we miss the crowds of the first weekend or two.
Right.
And then, it's a nice lazy day for us, and we all are Star Wars fans, so it caps off Christmas really nice for us.
You're probably the third or fourth person to mention the Star Wars thing, because we're doing it as a family thing on Thursday, but no one mentioned Christmas Day, because everybody's usually doing the big family thing.
Right.
But, it's a big thing around here too. Like if you're driving to a family, you know, gathering on Christmas Day and you happen to drive by a movie theater, like the parking lot's full.
Yeah. We've been surprised because doing movies on Christmas is pretty regular for us for like the last 10 years probably. And it seems like every year, you know, we used to go and be able to sit wherever we wanted to. And now it's like, depending on what time you go, there's five of us. We may not even all sit together because they seem to have gotten busier and busier every year. And I'm not sure what to attribute that to, but it does seem to be kind of I don't know if it's tradition for everybody or everybody just gets done with the meal and decides to go out to the theater, or everyone blows off their family and goes to the theater. it's something we've done pretty regular, and with Star Wars coming back, it's a good way to be kind of a nerd and celebrate the fandom with your holiday too.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's a generation thing, because like you'd never get my grandparents to go to the movies on Christmas Day.
Oh no.
I don't necessarily think my parents would go unless it was like, well, there's nothing else going on and it's just the two of us. Like we might as well, my dad would probably go, you know, if my sister was away and my mom was, you know, and dad's girlfriend was in Florida and mom and Barry were away. Like if it was just dad and I in the city for Christmas, we would probably go to the movies. Like that'd be fine. But if there's at all any meal gathering to happen like that, the movies would be not on the plate. But then you get down to my generation and my kind of peers that have kids, and I can totally see a quiet Christmas with just like mom, dad, kids, and like, hey, you know what? We've done with the toys. Let's get out of the house for a couple hours and go to the movies and maybe go tobogganing on the way home or something. You know, like I totally get that. So, Mike,
we don't go tobogganing in Florida.
No,
but it is it is very easy to do without extended family here. You know, we don't. We usually like make a big breakfast in the morning, and everyone opens gifts and kind of eats at their leisure, and then it's a lazy day. So it's very much our day, as opposed to entertaining family.
Oh, that's nice.
So it is easy to sneak out and go to the movies. And our boys are older now. It's not like dragging little kids to the theater anymore. So it's just a real casual, fun way to spend the day for us.
Yeah. And if they're older, you're not dragging them to see Star Wars. They're dragging you.
No. It's very much like, let's get in the car. Let's go. You know, so it's all good. It's turned into a really fun thing we do.
Yeah. Stop playing with new pens, Dad. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Are you done yet?
I hear she's in the car.
nice. Mike, do you guys do movies at all on Christmas Day?
So it sounds probably a very common theme. The Star Wars thing has been, like last year and will be this year. We had about 12 of us last year. We took up basically an entire row. It was like my wife and her parents and my parents and all their siblings and I think a cousin or two, and we were all just lined up. It was at that point, it was the fourth time I'd seen The Force Awakens. So I knew everything that was happening, but it was the first time for everyone else. So just kind of enjoying it by, you know, looking around very slyly at you know, big moments.
Yeah.
And it's going to be probably another thing this year. We'll all go again to see Rogue One, which I already saw, but I won't talk about right now. And yeah, that's about it. Like, we have big meals and stuff, but like nerdy stuff. Yeah, the movies. Like, yeah, it's very enjoyable to do that on Christmas. I know you say you feel that it didn't seem that busy years ago. I worked in the theater when I think it was my first job, maybe when I was 16, like 12 years ago or so. And yeah, it was packed always.
Really?
Christmas Day was Christmas Day and surprisingly Christmas Eve, worst day to work in the theater. Because it was busy. So full of kids. It's only the kids' movies that were full of, like, that were completely packed. But I feel like it was the kids dragging the parents and supposed to the parents take going.
Right.
It seems weird that it's kids' movies because they seem like they would have the most to occupy them on Christmas Day. You know, new toys and Lego sets to put together. Yeah, that seems really kind of backwards almost.
Yeah, I know, right? That was my thought back then. Like, don't you have a lot of things? Because I was just, you know, you had that thought when you're at a place and you're working and like, I would rather be anywhere else right now. Why are you
right
here?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, well, especially because up here in Canada, you can't take, there's no booze in the movie theaters. I mean, I know some theaters in the States,
there's
you can do
booze in the movie theaters in the States?
Well, you have meals, and you can get, some places are licensed.
Some movie theaters. I wouldn't say that's the norm.
No, but I've heard that there are, I mean, that makes even more sense on Christmas Day, you know, to go and have a meal or have a beer.
Where they have tables and wait staff and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would go to the movies more often if I could just have a brew or two.
Yeah. 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 Well, and I think some of that too is like why I like movies at home during the holidays is because I can have a rum and eggnog and a handful of M&Ms and have my feet up on the coffee table and not worry about it so much about it.
And you could pause it if you have to step away and things like that.
Yeah. 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 I'm not sure how, I'm not sure what movies I'm going to watch this year. Nothing special because my TV is a loner and I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to replace the one that died this year. And I've already decided that Lord of the Rings is something I'm going to put off. So I'm going to wait
for the new TV.
Yeah. Well, because they're the kind of movies that I've seen them a number of times. So watching them again, it's like I don't want to waste that viewing, you know, and because I only ever watch them once a year, once every other year. And I really enjoy them, but I much prefer them on a larger TV. I think I tried watching part of the Fellowship a little bit when I was sick in the spring just with a flu on the TV and it wasn't the same. I stopped. Like I just like, nah, this is not nearly as immersive as I hoped it would be. I am spoiled. And actually it's even more so the sound because I have to use headphones as opposed to having like surround sound. So I miss that too. So it's just.
Well, see, you should just step it back and watch the Ralph Bakshi Hobbit from the 70s.
It fits the
smaller TV and the headphones. So it's.
Yeah, I could do that. So I'll probably just end up watching some Christmas specials this year, some TV things, you know, Muppets and stuff that doesn't require like a big screen. It's almost more nostalgic to watch it on a smaller TV because we only ever had like a 20-inch tube television when I was a kid.
I tried my best throughout the exam period this month to fit in as like for study breaks. A friend of mine and I would stop and just watch Christmas movies. And nice. we already pulled off Die Hard, Muppet Christmas Carol, which is my favorite.
I love that one.
It's so good. And she'd never seen it. So I got to share that, which was nice.
Yeah.
I have actually never seen that.
Oh,
really?
It's a really good film. Yeah.
That's one of the Muppet movies that I kind of stopped watching them after Henson died.
So this one is, I think, the first one that came out after he died.
Okay. And it was directed by Brian Henson.
Yeah.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of those.
It's on HBO right now. I need to just sit down and dial it in.
Because it's very like usual Muppets, where kids could watch it and be perfectly fine. But if you're an adult watching it, there's so many things that kids wouldn't pick up on that you will find hilarious. So it's really good. It's really worthwhile.
Yeah. Listen to everything Rizzo says.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's the best in all of those for dishing those lines out and just being, you know, he's so funny.
Now, I've seen the Muppet movie, the new one, with
the second one or the first one?
The first one. So that's just called The Muppets, I think.
Yeah.
So not the one with Tina Fey, the one with the dude from Big Bang Theory.
I've seen both of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Jason Segel's in the first one, right?
Yeah. I liked the first one. It wasn't the best. What did you guys think of the second one? Have you both seen it?
I've not seen the second one.
Oh. I have seen it, and it's got moments, but it's largely forgettable. I kind of think both of those are not quite my Muppets. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of... I grew up a big Henson fan,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot after he died where I just feel like I don't know what that X factor is that he had, but it was clearly missing after mm-hmm. after he wasn't involved anymore, and I think a lot of that stuff, it's the new movies are very well intentioned and they're trying very hard to be true to that voice, but I think there's just something missing from it that doesn't quite resonate with me.
Yeah. See, and I agree. And I think that the new movies, you have it kind of buried in that sentence. I feel that they try too hard. That's where they lose me.
Yeah, I think it might be that. And I think they're missing an audience because they're not resonating with the old fans.
Which is who they should be catering
people
to.
People like my kids didn't really grow up on the Muppets. So mm-hmm. They're sort of in a no man's land, I feel like. And it's really kind of unfortunate because the Muppets are great.
Yeah, I think if they have hit that nostalgia chord and went straight at the way that The Force Awakens went at, you know, us, not necessarily 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, if they had gone straight that way, then I think they would have hit a lot better. And I think part of the Muppet issue that I have is with Henson, because I was a fan, is there was a classiness to it and a classic kind of like wholesomeness to it. It still pushed the limits a little bit, but
had a little bit of edge on it.
Yeah,
so,
but the underlying wholesomeness was just so corny that it worked.
There was a little tongue in cheek to how wholesome it was. Mm-hmm. It was very aware of, we're a little cliche here, but then they would sort of undercut it, like you said, with some of that adult aimed, you know, like Steve Martin's in the original Muppet movie.
Yeah.
As the sarcastic waiter. And it's just mm-hmm. the funniest thing to watch as an adult.
Because it's stand-up Steve comedy Martin, right?
Era Steve Martin. And Mel Brooks is in it. And there's a lot of, you know, I remember watching that with my parents. And my dad just thought it was the funniest thing. He thought it was as funny as I did. Mm-hmm. But he was laughing at all different parts than I was.
Yeah, so you're laughing when a Muppet falls over, and he's laughing when either the adults are saying stuff, you know, or giving the camera a look. And I think a lot of it too was like I feel like the new Muppets kind of smack you over the head with the joke. It's like ba-dump bump, that's the adult joke. Right. All the adults laugh. Whereas in the old Muppets, it would be all this wholesome back and forth and drama where, like, you know, Kermit's worried about something and he's legitimately like focused on trying to solve this problem. And then one secondary character Muppet would just walk through and say something and be gone before you would even register it. And it was like a drive-by adult joke. And you're just like, oh my God, did that just happen? And I found that was a better way to approach it, as opposed to like, hey, did you catch the adult joke that we just made, adults? Because we made an adult joke. It's like,
they didn't stop and wink at you and make sure you got it.
Yeah.
Which is why I kind of liked, like, going back, like Muppet Christmas Carol, it did do that and it didn't try and like beat you over the head with it. It just subtly, they're in there. It's kind of like when you watch Aladdin and Robin Williams is throwing out all these things and kids
have
no freaking clue what they're talking about, but you'd be laughing your head off.
Yeah.
Like it's very like that. I'd love that so much. Cause it just makes an absolute, like a generational movie. Like anyone can watch it and enjoy it.
And since you've seen those other ones, Phil, the Muppet Christmas Carol blows them out of the water. Like,
oh God,
no
really?
Comparison.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Not even no. sort of the same.
Yeah.
Especially, honestly, for me, also with Muppet Treasure Island, that was the last one I liked. I liked that one. I don't know if I get any credit or not, but I liked that one.
No,
I was young when that came out.
Yeah, so. No, I still get laughs at with people that I know that have seen it when I say boom shakalaka, and they gotta go, wait, what did you just say? And then they remember, like, yep, that's stuck in my brain since whenever that came out. One of my favorite Muppet Christmas things to stay on that is the Muppet Family Christmas Special, the one that was on TV.
Yeah, it's great.
The Icy Patch and Grandma Fozzie's grandma or Fozzie's mom's place. Because like that to me is like every Christmas as a child, every stormy, you know, stuck inside kind of cold evening with the fire going, with that on the television. Like I will watch that every year. And every year, it doesn't necessarily, I don't cry, but it definitely hits me right in the feels for that one.
I watched it last year for the first time since I was a kid, probably.
Mm.
And the very end, when Jim Henson goes into the kitchen to start doing the dishes, I did not cry, but it got very dusty in my house. It was really like, oh my God, too soon, you know?
Yeah.
Someone like that, though, there's never a soon. Like, there's
no,
never
it's always too soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because the whole time you're watching these characters and stuff, you're sucked into everything and you forget that, like, a lot of the voices and a lot of the puppeteers and Jim and also the guy that plays Doc, they've all passed on.
Yeah.
You know, it's because a lot of the characters are voiced by different puppeteers now. And
Frank Oz is still there though, right?
Frank Oz is still there. I mean, he sounds different because he's much older, but yeah, Frank Oz I don't know if he still does Piggy. I know he does Fozzie.
Okay. I couldn't remember if he switched who he voiced or what.
No, I don't know.
I know in the first of the new Muppet movies, he was not involved. I think he didn't like the tone of that one.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be surprised. And I think I don't
usually a very large red flag
in the next one.
Yeah, that would be
things like
one.
That would we say, okay, maybe we should switch this up if someone like
it really does Frank seem Oz like it would be like a red flag when Frank Oz says, no, I don't want to be involved. You
know? And he was in the Phantom Menace, so come on now.
Yeah. Well, I think he might be contractually tied to Yoda no matter what. But
yeah, I guess. Well, yeah, because I guess all those other actors like Mark Hamill and stuff, their likenesses are owned by Lucasfilm. That's why all those toys, whether or not they want them to come out or not, are coming out.
Coming out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder. It makes me wonder. You know, obviously, I know that Yoda's CG and stuff now, but I kind of makes me wonder whether we'll get like a Force Ghost Yoda in one of the episodes to come. Do you think Episode 8 will have Daisy Ridley visited by Force
Ghost? I'd be fine with that.
Oh, I would be thrilled.
Totally yeah.
Thrilled, especially if we get a little taste. They're all about these nostalgia bombs, but it would be awesome to get the Yoda just meeting Luke for the first time Yoda versus the Jedi Master Yoda.
Like, you know, like goofy Yoda, yeah.
Yeah, like the fight, like, you know, put your weapon away, like, you know, like
I mean, you know
how. Yeah, like mine. Like, just I mean, he obviously can't interact with her, but I think it would be really funny to have this tongue-in-cheek kind of, like, you know, woo,
the Yoda. Clown Yoda.
Yeah, the clown Yoda versus the deeper guy. I mean, I guess at that point, I mean, Luke might have revealed who he was or something like that to Rey.
Who knows? Maybe they'll come into the new movie and he'll still just be standing there staring.
She's still holding the lightsaber.
She's still
out.
Holding it, like, come on, man. It's getting cold up here. Can we start this already? You said nothing but stare for 20 minutes.
Say something, you will. Yeah. God, too funny.
I was saying that to Alistair the other day because he was talking about like side stories, like how Rogue One is a side story. And I said, right now, I would love to have like a younger Yoda, like badass, like maybe we'll say 400-year-old Yoda running around.
No, when he was a kid.
Yeah, when he was a kid, you know, young and whimsical.
Yeah. To the hand you will talk. I say that in jest, and I kind of say that out loud and go, oh God, don't do that. Please don't do that.
Boy, this really is a dirty city.
You telling me? Thank you for making me a part of this.
Well, that brings us into what's really going to be the end of the show. Normally, there's a moment where we, you know, share some internet pics and stuff like that, but I'm going to kind of glaze over that this year. But what I do want to take the time to do is thank all of the people on Patreon that are supporting The Citadel Cafe. If you head on over to patreon.com/TheCitadelCafe, you can see the patrons there. You can see the episodes that we've been posting. And it has gone a long, long way to help the Citadel Cafe keep on running this year. As you may have noticed over the last couple weeks, there's been some blips in the scheduling. There's been some website stuff. I've had to move all of my websites from one hosting provider to another, which is a giant pain in the ass. And it has been something I could not do without Ryan Murphy. But the money that comes in from Patreon is a huge help. To be able to comfortably just kind of go to a service that provides the things that we need, you know, take care of the costs involved in that. There was a little pot from Patreon that's been taking care of that. And I can't thank the people that are supporting the show enough. I think it's fantastic. And it's just fun to come on here every week and, you know, talk about the geeky stuff that we're into and be able to share it with all of you guys and that have you guys like it enough that you want to support the show on Patreon. So thanks so much to all the patrons. I really appreciate it. And I really enjoy where things have gone with the Slack. So if you haven't already and you want to join in the Slack, check out Patreon. If you become a patron, then you can join in the Slack chat. And it has been, especially over the last like 4 to 6 months, I feel really kind of blown up into a really fun little community. Several of the people on the show tonight are actually part of the Slack. And it's just a cool place to kind of hang out and chat when I need a break from work or, you know, in between shows, getting ideas for what to talk about on upcoming episodes of the Citadel Cafe. I just wanted to take a moment to give everybody out there in Patreon land a big thank you, because I really appreciate it. Before I let everybody go, I guess we can just kind of run down the horn and see where people can find you online, what they can watch or listen to. Hammond, we'll start with you.
You can find me with Beyond the Playlist with Jay Hammond C, at Jay Hammond C on Twitter. And we just finished season one of Soundography, and season two is planned, and we will start recording that after the new year.
Nice. Kristen, where can people find your work online?
People can find me at Dream Destroyer, that is DRMDESTRYR, over at Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, as well as my health and fitness blog, battletobebetter.weebly.com.
Sam, where can people find you online?
You can mostly find me at Samboni, S-A-M-B-O-N-I-E. I'm on Twitter with Samboni and Samboni86 on Instagram. And you can also follow a lot of what I'm doing at hal-con.com.
Alistair, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter as iMcFly. And my website, which is just about movies and sci-fi and general geekdom, is over at ohmyzod.com. And one of my New Year's resolutions, which has been a while since I've had one of those, is to actually make another post and potentially get the site back up and running.
Yeah, I think with stuff like that, because I have some resolutions of my own to get back with regular star-crossed comics, I think just baby steps, you know, set goals that you know you can achieve and then set a new one after you've achieved it. Like, so.
Yeah, well, that's it for me. For me, my goal is one new post. And once I've done that, perhaps move on to another one.
Yeah. Phil, where can people find you online?
PhilRude.com is the catch-all. You can get to everywhere I am on the internet from there.
And Mike, is there any Twitter handle or any other place that you want to give a shout-out to?
Yeah, you can. If you want to, you can follow me on Twitter at Mike O'Dandy, and I'm always in the Slack chat, too.
Well, thanks very much for hanging out, guys. I need to start putting this show together to make sure that it's out there for people to listen to for Christmas. In the new year, we will be recording new episodes of The Citadel Cafe every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. You can find that at thecitadelcafe.com. The mobile audio stream for the show was provided by alphageekradio.com, and music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can email the show with your own Christmas or Star Wars stories at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. I have a funny feeling that the first show in the new year will be very Star Wars heavy. You can find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. And of course, leave us a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways for the show to get new listeners. You can find everything that I am up to on joelduggan.com. Check out my Instagram feed, Joel Duggan, for all kinds of delicious food and maybe some art when I get off my lazy butt to do it. Thanks so much for joining me tonight, guys. I appreciate you guys taking the time because of the busy holidays. And we will see everybody in the new year.
Oh, thank you.
You've been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.